This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are Tuesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. July corn, 458 and a quarter, down 7 and a quarter. September corn, 454, down 5 and a quarter. December corn, 454 and a quarter, down 4 and a quarter. July soybeans, 1481 and a quarter, down 19 and a quarter. August soybeans, 1414 and a half, down 12 and a half. September soybeans, 1273 and a quarter, down 8 and 3 quarters. July wheat, 612 and a half, down 8 and a quarter. September wheat, 623, down 8 and 3 quarters. December wheat, 645 and a quarter, down 9. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. I'm Bob Reese, and this is Tuesday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were lower on Tuesday afternoon. Corn and soybeans were marked down on the favorable planting and positive developments. Wheat sought lower levels with good crops overseas and lower prices than the U.S. price. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 7 to 10 cents lower at 437 to 464. Soybean bids were down 17 to 21 cents at 1467 to 1495. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 2 to 10 cents lower at 430 to 462. Soybean bids were down 17 to 27 cents at 1475 to 1510. Now in the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 8 to 11 cents lower at 441 to 469. Soybean bids were 18 to 20 cents lower at 1479 to 1502. Wheat bids were down 8 to 12 cents at 578 to 605. Now from the Illinois soybean processors, cash soybean bids, they were 19 to 29 cents lower at 1499 to 1546. Basis was steady to 10 lower at 18 to 65 over the July. High Pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 519.60 to 540.60 per ton, and that was down $6.40 to $11.40, with the basis unchanged to down 5 at 20 to 41 over the July. Illinois corn processors cash corn bids were 7 cents lower at 459 to 476, with the basis unchanged at 1 to 18 over the July. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids 7 cents down at 467 to 471, with the basis unchanged at 9 to 13 over the July. Soybeans ended 20 to 23 cents lower at 1490 to 1501. With the basis 1 to 4 lower at 9 to 20 over the July. Wheat prices were down 8 cents at 591 to 595, and the basis unchanged at 18 to 22 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 7 to 10 cents lower at 486 to 488. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 25 to 27 cents with quotations of 1510 to 1515. Soft wheat closed 1 to 6 cents lower at 613 to 618, and Milo ended the day 7 to 8 cents lower at 471 to 484. Now on to contract bids to producers for new crop delivery in the northern and western part of the state. Corn was 416 to 426 and soybeans 1182 to 1207. In the central part of the state, corn was 421 to 434, and soybeans were 1180 to 1204. In the southern part of the state, corn ranged from 421 to 436, and soybeans 1192 to 1222, and soft wheat trading in the range of 583 to 595. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Tuesday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. June live cattle, 138.35, up 65 cents. August live cattle, 140.07, up 95 cents. October live cattle, 143.75, up 72 cents. August feeder cattle, 198.30, up 72 cents. September feeder cattle, 198.77, up 17 cents. October feeder cattle, 199.27, up 37 cents. June lean hogs, 113.60, up 47 cents. July lean hogs, 122.30, up $1.25. August lean hogs, 127.65, up $1.70. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday the 3rd afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct afternoon hog report, calculations were a 200-pound pork carcass traded 57 cents higher in the range of 98 to 110 with the weighted average carcass price of 108.23. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading $3 lower. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 67 to 72, 4 to 5 weights 71 to 76, 5 to 6 weights 75 to 79, and 6 weights and up 77 to 80. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $75 up to $78. Receipts from four Illinois hogs today totaled 12,792 head, and from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 355 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $118.78, and that was 54 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $232.66, that was 23 cents higher, and select carcasses were $223.85, and that was $2.37 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 118,000, that compared to 119,000 last week, and 126,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 410,000, that compared to 418,000 last week and 407,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. June corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.68. July corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.58. June corn delivered to Scottville, $4.59. July corn delivered to Scottville, $4.49. June beans delivered to Greenfield, $14.83. July beans delivered to Greenfield, $14.80. June beans delivered to Scottville, $14.72. July beans delivered to Scottville, $14.69. June wheat delivered to Scottville, $5.82. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $4.68, corn at Scottville is $4.59, beans at Greenfield are $14.83, beans at Scottville are $14.72, and wheat at Scottville is $5.82. On Monday, the U.S. Department of Agriculture reported 78% of the U.S. soybean crop had been planted and 50% had emerged. If this season closes in line with USDA's May estimates, DTN reports U.S. ending stocks at 9.6% of annual use would be significantly higher than the current season's record low of 3.8%. DTN grains analyst Todd Holtman says the bearish outlook for new crop soybeans seems reasonable, but the road to harvest could bring some surprises. Holtman says there are two key market issues he will be paying attention to the rest of this year. One is USDA's acreage report, set to be released on June 30th. After the department's prospective plantings report on March 31st, Holtman says everyone seems to know corn acres will be down this year and soybean acres will be a record high of around 81.5 million. USDA's March 31st estimates boast a 90% confidence interval of around 3%, but Holtman says 90% is not a guarantee, and even a 3% smaller planting would put soybean acres at 79 million, which would lead to an eighth straight year of below-average soybean supplies. Illinois' weekly crop and weather report was released. Warm, dry conditions continued throughout the state last week, allowing farmers to continue planting. Statewide, precipitation averaged 0.62 inches, 0.35 inches below normal. Temperatures averaged 74 degrees, 7.2 degrees above normal. There were 5.4 days suitable for field work. Corn planting increased to 98% complete, while corn emerged reached 91%. Soybeans planted reached 85%, ahead of the five-year average of 65%. Soybeans emerged reached 59%, ahead of the five-year average of 44%. Winter wheat headed reached 88%, behind the five-year average of 94%. Topsoil moisture was rated at 1% very short, 13% short, 77% adequate, and 9% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated at 4% very short, 18% short, 75% adequate, and 3% surplus. Winter wheat condition was rated at 2% very poor, 5% poor, 26% fair, 48% good, and 19% excellent. Many farmers have either finished planting or are wrapping things up pretty quickly. So far, the weather conditions and the good progress of the crop is creating a bearish market, according to market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman.
Well, we continue to be under a bearish cloud in the grain and oilseed markets. And first of all, the trade is focused on big, what they consider to be big global stocks, although that's really a question of, is the glass half empty or half full? Because if there were a legitimate threat somewhere in the world, suddenly the glass would be half empty. But that threat doesn't really exist at this point. The weather pattern over the Midwest is deemed to be favorable for high yields. And in fact, USDA's crop ratings that came out late on Monday confirmed that, with the sixth highest corn ratings to start the season that we've seen on record for this week of the year. So overall, there's very little to convince the trade otherwise as they look toward a national average yield of somewhere between 165 and 170 bushels per acre. And so the sell-off continues. Having said that, the corn and wheat markets are oversold and due for a bounce, and I would anticipate that that will happen, if not this week, at some point ahead of next week's USDA crop report. But that will be seen as a bounce to be sold by the fund managers until or unless a legitimate threat emerges.
So far, not too many concerns as far as traders are concerned.
Absolutely. If you look at the corn crop, it's off to a great start, a little bit slow along the northern border, the northern states in the belt. But the crop progress report showing the crop's getting planted there as well. Soybeans getting started right on pace with normal overall for the national crop, and the soft red winter wheat crop looking very good as well, with the tour confirming that this week and some good yields there. So overall, the trade is focused on big crops and big supplies with no threats to that supply, and so now they're simply trying to drive prices lower in order to stimulate the demand for U.S. commodities.
And last time we talked, that was an issue in the northern part of the Midwest, that they were not getting their crops in. Do they seem to be catching up?
They are. There are some delays in some key states, particularly North Dakota, parts of Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan. Michigan probably has the greater problems at this point. But overall, they're very comparable or better than what they were a year ago in most of those states. And a weather pattern that suggests that while there will be interruptions, that they will be able to get the crops planted. We will probably lose a few acres in that area. There will be some prevented planting acres, but traders are assuming, A, that we're going to make up for that with increased acres in other parts in the Midwest where planting has gone better, and B, that yield is the bigger multiplier at this point, and higher yields will more than offset the lost acres.
And in comparison to last year, there will probably be a whole lot less prevented plant acres for this year.
Absolutely. Last year was a disaster for many areas, particularly in the northwestern Midwest. And it looks like that prevented planting is going to be a smaller factor this year.
And so far, it doesn't look like there are any diseases or pests to give anyone concern as far as the growing wheat crop, corn crop, and soybean crops.
Absolutely good growing conditions. We're keeping an eye on the soft red winter wheat crop. It's been very delayed maturity to this point, but that's probably been good as long as we can avoid any significant heat. Of course, with all the moisture in the area, we're certainly going to have to be on the alert for possible problems with scab, but so far no big alerts as far as widespread problems have come up.
Unlike the grain markets, which are being fed by what traders believe will be a large, healthy harvest, the livestock markets are showing the wear of low livestock numbers and consumers who are fighting high prices. Market analyst Arlen Suderman has more.
Well, as we look at the livestock market, we continue to see probably what stands out the most is the bullishness in the feeder cattle market, which once again, the cash index there has set a new record all-time high, just below $194. That market seems to have its eye set on testing the $200 mark and very well may do so this week. I think the real threat in the meat complex overall is what the availability of disposable income is for the consumer in order to pay these higher prices at the retail level. And as we look at the live cattle market, I think we're really starting to see that resistance from the consumer. Box beef prices are at levels where throughout the spring we have seen a kickback from the retailer at these price levels, and demand has dropped. We're seeing similar problems trying to move pork now at these price levels as well. So that's the real concern, is the health of the economy and some of the economic data coming out lately has been discouraging, with consumer confidence taking a dip in the month of May. We really need to see the economy pick up, see the consumer have more disposable income, lower energy prices, to enable them to pay up. We know that supplies are tight. It's just whether the consumer will be able to pay these prices, or will the consumer shift away from beef toward pork or away from pork toward poultry.
So far the nice weather is not encouraging the consumers to get out there and start grilling and encourage them to buy these meat products.
Yeah, I think that really shows up in the choice select spread that we see in box beef prices, which has really faltered this spring. And normally that shows seasonally in the spring, that high demand for steaks, and we see it in pork chop demand as well for the grilling season. But with the cool spring that we had and the sluggish economy, we never really did get the type of barbecue season that we need to stimulate that demand and make the consumer feel good about spending the money for those higher cuts.
Now, since the USDA has started requesting information on farms that were infected with PEDV, have we seen any effect from that? Is there more pessimism or less pessimism as concerns the hog industry with the PED virus, or has it not changed anything yet?
Probably the biggest thing that stands out is the confirmation of the recurrence of the disease. Typically, when a disease like this hits, there would be some immunity that would start to build up in a herd after the herd has had the disease, and you could go for maybe several years without any problems following that. But now we're seeing recurrences of the disease, and so the same operation gets hit more than one time, which is devastating on the operation itself. That's probably some of the most urgent news that we've seen out of this reporting system, and most concerning to the industry.
Do we know yet if there are any significant number of hog farms who are going out of business due to this disease?
I haven't seen any numbers yet. We know that with the economic impact that this is having on individual operations, the word from the industry is that we will be losing both some small and large operations most likely. But I haven't seen anyone really put together the numbers on that and to correlate that.
All right, but a lot of eyes on the pig industry this week due to the National Pork Expo that's going on out in Iowa.
And that should certainly create some news and some more talk about the PED virus. That's certainly on the front burner of the entire industry right now, and I think its greatest threat at the present time.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. World Pork Expo begins tomorrow in Des Moines, Iowa, and in preparation, the National Pork Producers Council gathered veterinary experts together to determine the best ways to prevent the potential for disease transmission through the expo. NPPC CEO Neil Dirks says the experts have assured stringent health requirements are in place for the expo shows and sales. Attendees are asked to observe good biosecurity practices, including wearing clean clothing and shoes that have not been inside a pork production facility. All swine barns and pens are also being disinfected before the pigs arrive and will again be disinfected after the expo. Attendees will also have the opportunity to disinfect their shoes before going home in specially designed stations near the exits. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.